Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, that'd be me. Thanks. Great to have you with us today. Show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. Beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Let It Be Solar Hotline is open. 1-800-795-9565. Bill O'Brien met with the press after the opening practice today.
No other freshmen have left. And, again, you know, I've said this for the last couple weeks. We've got a bunch of proud kids that are here. They have a passion for playing football. They have a passion for going to school here. They really understand the reason why we're in the situation we're in. But they still want to go out there and play for themselves and for their university. So, again, I think we've got a bunch of great kids. And I think, like I've said, I'm probably the head coach.
Could you, How many guys do you have on scholarship now?
I don't know.
How do you go about working the true freshmen in? Because it looked like they weren't out there today. And how important are they going to be, given the lack of depth in some areas?
Sure, they'll be really important. And what we do is on the first day, it's kind of an acclimation period. So they did some lifting with Fitz this morning. Then they'll come out and have their own practice tonight. They'll be out here, the freshmen, you know, and the newcomers on their own. So just to try to get them used to our terminology, our practice pace, before we throw them into the fire with the big guys.
So how much does losing Silas Red hurt your football team?
Again, I'm here to talk about the players that are here now. I see opportunities for Bill Belton, for Derek Day, for Zach Zwinak, and for Curtis Dukes. I see a great opportunity for those guys. Those are good football players, and that's what we're concentrating on right now.
Bill, could you talk about Bill Belton and his development and, and playing the running back position there?
Sure. When we came in to you know, 7 months ago or so, when we started winter workouts, we evaluated him right off the bat. We saw really good feet. We saw good hands, good vision, and a really instinctive football player. And so we felt like the best thing for us to do was to play him at running back, and that's what we decided to do. And he's gotten better. He came out here today and had one of his better practices on day one, which is good to see.
Bill, yeah. If you put it in a nutshell, how is the challenge for you different than the day you took the job in January?
Well, every day is a challenge. You know, every single day is a challenge, and right now we just take it day to day, and we're here for these kids, and that's what we're doing, and we're doing the best job we can for this football team, this football program, this athletic department, and this university.
Bill, are you confident that all the guys are out here today are committed to this season?
I'm very confident that the guys that are here today are committed, and again, it's day to day, but I'm confident in these guys. They got up at 5:15 this morning, and they came out and practiced. You know, it wasn't great, it wasn't all pretty, but there were some good plays out here, and we just got to keep getting better.
Given the situation, the numbers and everything, is every single practice that much more important? I mean, in terms of sense of urgency, what you want to accomplish?
Sure, just like every team in the country, you only have 29 practice opportunities. So, you know, every single day we come out here, we can only do two things. You either get better or you get worse. So we're going to try to be more consistent tomorrow when we come out here. And we're going to try to improve on the things that we made mistakes on today. And we're going to try to get better at the things that we did pretty well today. So just keep improving and keep working.
It would be easy for your players to feel pity for themselves because they weren't involved in anything that happened before. How do you, as a coach, get them to not think about any of that stuff and be strong for now?
This is a very focused group. They understand why we're in this position. I think it's really important that people know that we understand why we're here. And we're going to show that. Once we get into the season and school starts, you'll see us reaching out to children, showing how much we care about children. We've got a bunch of dads on this staff. We've got a bunch of kids here that have a lot of pride in playing for Penn State and not just playing football. They have pride in going to school here. They have pride in reaching out to the community. And we got smart guys. And so, again, Like I've said for 2 weeks, I couldn't be happier about being their head coach, and I'm looking forward to working every day with them.
Overall, how do you think the university is going to move forward as it's the NCAA sanctions?
Again, I believe in the chain of command, and I think our leadership has done a good job. And I'm here to coach the football team, and that's what I'm concerned about. I'm just focused on the football team, what we can do as a football team, as students, and what we can do in the community from here on out.
Well, tell me about your idea to put the names on the back of uniforms. Is that going to happen, and why would you do it if you do?
That's still under discussion, and if that does happen, I'll make sure I let you know why we do it.
Bill, what time did you get here today, and how are you feeling when you stepped on the field for the first time?
I feel great, and I got here about 4:45, and I couldn't wait. Couldn't sleep last night for good reasons, because I couldn't wait to start practice, and our whole staff was here before me. I think I was the last one to arrive. So our staff was here at 4:30, so they're going to be busting my chops when I get back up to that meeting right now. But I feel good about getting here today and getting going.
When the sanctions were announced, do you expect this many players to disband?
I felt good about our football team. I felt good about their commitment to themselves, to each other, to our coaching staff, and to this university. And so at the end of the day, I felt really good about keeping this team together. I know some guys left, but that's okay. That was their individual decision. We respect that decision, but we're moving forward with this football team.
Have the sanctions and the lack of transfer restrictions been any harder than you expected?
The sanctions are what they are. We know why they're there. We certainly understand why we're in these within these sanctions, and we're playing by the rules. There's something that we have to deal with, and that's what we're doing. But again, like I've said, we understand why the sanctions are here. We understand.
Will the freshmen be incorporated tomorrow in the regular practice?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Bill, how's McGoin, his attitude-wise, to progress since he made him the starter? Does he seem more at ease and seem more confident out there?
No question. I have a lot of fun coaching Matt, coaching Paul. Shane was out here this morning. He showed some improvement. You know, there were some ugly plays out there, but there were also some really good plays. So we just got to keep working on being consistent. But Matt's come out here and started off pretty decent.
Coach, what do you want Penn State football to stand for?
I want Penn State to stand for, number one, the community. I want Penn State to stand for good students and the combination of being a student at. I want Penn State to stand for, football-wise, to stand for tough, smart football. And to, again, I want Penn State to turn the page and move forward, understanding why we are. It's a new Penn State. It's a new Penn State football program. And we do have some restrictions, but we all know why they're there. And we're going to make sure that we focus on that in addition to doing a really good job of playing some good, tough football.
What new things would you like to do in the community?
Again, we're going to continue to be involved in the community, whether it's Special Olympics, whether it's THON, whether it's Lift for Life. And I will tell you right now, we'll definitely be involved with PCAR, from day one. I had a meeting with PCAR this week, and I've had meetings with them, and I look forward to working with PCAR. Our athletes will be involved with that too, and we've got good kids. We've got kids that really care about children. We've got a coaching staff that really cares about children, and that's going to be part of what we do in the community.
So why do you think you're the man to take this challenge?
You know, again, I was hired. They asked me to be the head coach. I trusted I trusted the leadership that was in place, and again, I was able to put together a great staff, and I feel good about where we're at right now. We've got a long way to go. We've got some challenges ahead, but we're just going to take it day to day and work extremely hard on what we have to do on a day to day basis.
Bill, is the team 100% healthy going into camp? How's the physical condition?
Yeah, pretty much, Guy. I would say there's some hamstrings and things like that, but nothing major. So I would say we're 100%.
Any significant players that were held out there?
Yeah, but that's just a hamstring. So I mean, he's a very significant player, but he'll be back. That's a hamstring. So as far as significant injuries, I'd say no. That's just that's a hammy. You know, these guys gotta hydrate better. They gotta drink more water, and we gotta do a better job of taking care of our hamstrings.
You get a feeling there's a strong sense of camaraderie among the school players.
Sure, I feel good about these guys. They're coming together. That's a day-to-day process, but we had a good start to it yesterday with a good team meeting, and we feel really good about the camaraderie on this team. It's a close team. It's got a really strong senior class that cares about finishing their careers on a high note. So, yeah, right now I feel very good about that.
What would a high note be at the end of the season?
I'm not going to get into predictions, but I just want us to go out there and play mistake-free football, play tough football. I want us to compete, and I want to go out there with the expectation to win every single game. So we take it as 12 one-game seasons, and when November rolls around, we'll see where we're at. But right now, we're just working very hard to get to that point.
Take two more. 2-1.
How do you think the atmosphere will be different than the Penn State football games that you know all those years growing up and the last few years?
Sure. I don't know the answer to that. I know this. I expect our fans to come out, and I expect our fans to understand why we're in this position, under these sanctions. I expect our fans to really root for this football team because this is a good bunch of kids that care about playing football for Penn State, care about getting a degree from Penn State. So I expect our fans to turn out and to embrace the new era of Penn State football.
Bill, Silas was obviously going to be a central piece in this offense. Do you now just slide Bill Belton into that role, or do you now retool everything in him?
Yeah. No, you don't have to retool everything. The next man up. So it's Billy Belton's time to shine, and he, like I said, he came out here today ready to go, and I expect him to do that every day. Again, he's a good football player, and he was going to play this year. So, it's definitely going to affect the depth a little bit, but we're not retooling everything because one player left. This is about a whole team, not one player.
Is Belton the top back right now?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Coach.
Bill O'Brien today after practice with the media. That goes with the one-on-one I did with him in the previous hour. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, purdyinsurance.com. You can always go to them. And also, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. And we go to Mike in Harrisburg. Hi, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Steve, I just wanted to comment on your comments, the reference you made to the Virginia lacrosse situation. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad to hear somebody say that because I've been sitting back while this piling on by the NCAA has happened, and I couldn't believe that nobody else seemed to be referring to that situation because there was evidence that people knew about this kid and his problems, and then he goes and murders another student, and the NCAA took a totally hands-off approach there. And I don't understand how these two situations can be handled so differently within a year.
And, of course, there's also Baylor basketball with what happened years ago as
right.
well. Look, the NCAA should not do anything with Duke lacrosse. It is a legal situation.
Oh, you this mean is Virginia, Virginia
I mean,
lacrosse.
My apology, Virginia lacrosse.
Right.
And Duke lacrosse had its own issue.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
and guess what? The media got that all wrong, too, didn't they?
Of course. And,
the media got Duke lacrosse completely wrong.
And Duke is now paying out a lot of money to those kids that they suspended before they had all the facts in place. So, I have to say, I'm not a Penn State fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan. And, we've had our differences over the years with Penn State. But just watching this as really an objective person who, again, I'm not a Penn State fan, it really irritates me to see what the NCAA has done. And, frankly, it's making me into a Penn State fan because I would really love to see them go 12-0 this year and, let everybody try to figure out who the Big Ten champ is.
Well, if you notice, they did not tell you in the press conference what violations Penn State committed.
Because they didn't commit any violations under the NCAA rulebook.
Exactly.
As far as I know.
All right. And this is something that there's still a story that has to be told by two defendants, Tim Curley and Gary Schultz,
yeah.
whose perspective and context, as Director Louis Free himself said at the beginning of the press conference, is not in the report because he
right.
was not allowed to talk to them. And, of course, as he also said that they couldn't talk to Joe Paterno either, who said he was going to cooperate, but then Joe got really sick.
Yeah.
And then, of course, subsequently passed away. All right. So you don't have that context within the report. Now, Mike, if during the course of the trial of Tim Curley and Gary Schultz, say you and I sit there and we objectively listen to what they say and we say, well, okay, you know what, the free report, you know, has it on the mark, all right, fine, then so be it.
Yeah.
But if it comes out and we get a completely different perspective and an understanding as to what actually happened, and everybody sits there and goes, okay, wait a minute, I think I've got it now.
Yeah.
I mean, people will change their minds, but with the NCAA, will they change their mind?
Steve, in my private life, I'm a lawyer, and on the amount of evidence that they had for the free report, I understand why Penn State wanted to get the free report and why they wanted to take action quickly from a public relations standpoint and everything else. And for valid, honest reasons too, not just for PR, but but as a matter of law, there's not any kind of final conclusion yet, and it could be very different from what people now think, based on a couple of emails that imply conversations that we haven't even heard. As you said, either of the people that were involved in that conversation. One we'll never hear from, really, and the other we haven't heard from yet.
Right. And so that's what we're waiting to hear. I'm not going to sit there and be critical of the free report.
No.
I'm just saying that there's something that is a blueprint, and now there are holes in the blueprint, which, I mean, look, even, again, Director Free himself stated at the beginning of the people he could not talk to. So, in other words, at the beginning, he made sure everyone understood that there was, even though they've done this report, they don't have the context of key people.
Right.
All right. And the most, as I said last week, go ahead, Mike, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. My point was, it's fine for the free report to make reasoned conclusions, and as you said, he stated at the outset that this is based on incomplete evidence at this point, but it's not fine for the NCAA to issue sanctions without hearings, without real fact finding, and without complete information. And as you said, in granting sanctions or handing down sanctions that don't relate to any specific rules violations.
Right. This deals with a retired employee who was actually employed by the Second Mile at the time. And
right.
based on the grand jury testimony, the Second Mile was informed by Penn State of the incident. His employer was informed by Penn State of the incident. Now, let's take this very quickly. You say you're an attorney, Mike. To
right.
me, and this is my perspective, the single most important thing is to go through a fair but swift trial with an alleged perpetrator that, if
right.
found guilty, is the perpetrator and is put in prison. Thus, a threat to society is taken off the street.
Right.
The second part, though, the part that you and I are talking about, the people we're discussing are not threats to society. Thus, you can take your time and try and fill in as many blanks as possible, so then you have a complete context as to what did or did not happen along the way. And then once you find that out, then make judgment. But you can't do that fairly until you have all the facts in and everybody's had their say, so you can draw some reasonable conclusions. But you can take your time with that part because you're talking about people who are not threats to society.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I think, unfortunately, maybe both the free report and the NCAA, but certainly the NCAA, reacted at least in part to the trial of the perpetrator and how gruesome the details were and the public reaction to that. You know, so they felt like they had to do something to make a statement, but that's not their job. Their job, really, as an organization trying to discipline the members, should be to sort everything out and get the right answer, which, as you said, could take a lot of time and has no reason to be rushed.
And their job, by the way, is to make sure the competition is fair and that people aren't breaking rules and getting a competitive advantage on the field or the court. That's actually their job.
Like giving them 86 players to play with instead of 85.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's really disturbing to see, you know, I'm not going to cast aspersions on any of the teams that have picked up Penn State players, but it's kind of disturbing to see that some of the usual suspects in the competitive advantage side of NCAA rules are the ones who are benefiting from this.
It's amazing. You're a Notre Dame fan. That means you have to go out and compete against Silas Red now.
Exactly. Well, that was one of my first thoughts. Of course, I started rooting for Silas to stay at Penn State as soon as I heard he was considering USC.
But, that's exactly right.
But, you know, I feel badly for those kids and the ones that obviously had nothing to do with any of the problems, and some of them are now going to suffer, and some of them had felt they had to transfer because of that, and the whole thing is extremely unfair to them.
Right. I think you make some very good points, Mike. Very good points.
Thank you. Appreciate listening to you, and like I said, I'm quickly becoming a Penn State fan, at least when they don't play Notre Dame.
Okay, Mike. You know, that's fair enough, because I grew up watching Notre Dame highlights, okay?
Okay. So did a lot of us.
My brother and I every Sunday morning. Okay.
Yeah, my dad and I did, so that's how I ended up going there. All right.
Exactly.
Take care.
Mike, thanks so much. Great call. Appreciate that. From Harrisburg with Mike to Williamsport and Larry. Hi, Larry. Thank you for joining us at 1-800-795-9565.
Thanks for taking my call, Steve. I appreciate your show in the afternoons. Just a little comment. Is it true that the Free Report didn't interview either Mike McQueary or anybody from the Second Mile?
That's true.
That's what I thought. And Curley and Schultz are going to trial on what charges?
Perjury and failure to report, I believe, are the two charges.
Perjury as in lying to the grand jury?
Yes.
And they go to trial, and do you really think we can trust what they're going to say under oath? What I'm getting at is it's so easy to blame somebody that can't protect themselves and come back and rebut their statements. That's my question. Can we really trust them to tell the truth?
Well, look, we have to listen to at least what they have to say. I don't think you can't sit there and render a final judgment. In other words, say, Larry, you sit there and you listen to what they have to say, right? If you don't believe it after listening to it, then you don't believe it.
Yeah, but there's no way to prove it. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's nobody else that can come up and say, well, I call so-and-so witness to rebut that. You know, I've had a little experience like your last caller.
For example, though, I'll give you an example, Larry. Let me give you an example. What if, and this is a what if.
No. Yeah.
On the witness stand, Tim says, I reported all this to the Second Mile, okay? And then you get somebody from the Second Mile say, yeah, they did report it to us. And then you put somebody in the witness stand that explains that as the employer under Pennsylvania law, let's run no news here, Kev, no news, okay? We can run through this, all right? Okay? We're doing this as a for instance. I put witness on stand. He tells me that in the end he decides to report to the Second Mile. Again, we're making up a story here. I'm not telling you the story, all right? You then put somebody on the witness stand that says, yeah, he did report the Second Mile. Then you put somebody on from the state that says, hey, wait a minute, you know, actually under reporting laws of the state of Pennsylvania, blah, 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 blah. You see what I mean? You might be able to get a better picture by doing that as opposed to he said versus he said.
Right. And like I said, it's because all the players can't talk out right now.
Right, this
Follow
moment.
Me?
Right, right.
Right. You know, you're going to have to take somebody, you know, whether it be Schultz or Curley or Spanier, whoever. They can say whatever they want to say, and there's not a whole lot of people that can rebut that, you know. So it's, you know, like you say, you're going to have to listen to everything, and that's my problem, you know, with all these other reporting stations and the media. They're taking the free report as gospel.
Right,
and
they're sheep.
Haven't heard.
Look, they're sheep.
They haven't heard everything.
Of course not. I watched Outside the Lines yesterday. Do you realize? I watched Outside the Lines yesterday, okay? Do you realize the questions they didn't ask and how stupid the questions were that they did ask? I sat there just total amazement. I said, well, does anybody do any research?
No, and, you know, that's the other thing. This media group, which one, whatever you want to talk about, they only ask the questions and they only want to talk about that makes their issue gospel. You know what I mean? They don't want to ask the hard questions, say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't fit the picture that we're trying to paint. You know what I mean?
Well, she wasn't asked she wasn't asked the question about the 2005 handling of Dan Connor. She wasn't asked about that, which really precipitated what happened in 2007. She wasn't asked about the lack of representation that you're allowed. By the way, the rule has completely changed at Penn State now. Larry, you're an attorney, okay? And I can tell you, attorneys here in State College for years, and again, Vicki Trippini had nothing to do with this rule. This rule was in a long time ago, that if a student was in trouble and went before judicial affairs, they were not allowed to have representation. It drove attorneys here crazy. I had a friend, Lee Nalo, who passed away in 2004. And Lee would complain to me all the time about having to represent students, but then he wasn't allowed to represent them before judicial affairs. Well, finally, the rules after the 2007 incident and after she left changed here. So now students have representation before judicial affairs to at least give them an opportunity and a sense of comfort that they're not, quote, in a kangaroo court. They didn't ask her about being employed by Mark Embert at the University of Connecticut. They didn't ask her about whether she talked to Mark Embert during the course of this process. They didn't ask her any of those questions yesterday. That was as poor an interview as I've ever heard.
Oh, yes. And nobody brings up about our governor when he was attorney general that he took, what, over $400,000 from the Second Mile as a campaign donor when he was going to run for governor? And he put two drug agents to investigate the first complaint. You know, there's a lot of questions here that don't want to be asked and people don't want to know about.
Right. And, my only point on the trial coming up, and I completely appreciate the point of view you brought to the start of this, Larry, when you talked about, well, you know, it's going to be their story. My only point was is that the NCAA, in my opinion, needed to wait to then hear all of it and then make judgment.
Correct. And nobody can bring them to justice either.
Correct.
You know, they make the rules. They say, okay, we're going to change the rules now. I'm, you know, president, Mr. Everett. I'm going to change this rule. I'm going to make a new rule just to accommodate Penn State. You know, we're going to put it right to Penn State. No, there's no appeals. Nobody can, you know. And I keep telling people, wait and see what job he has a year from now. That's my question of the future.
Right.
We'll wait and see what happens.
Right.
It might take 2 years, but I guarantee he won't be with the NCAA in 2 years at the most.
We'll mark down that prediction,
you, Steve.
Larry, thank you very much for your comments. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. I know the most important part for me is in all this moving forward, but again, if someone wants to bring up talking about the situation, I'll talk about it. Because, again, I think that there's a process that has to play out, and the NCAA bypassed the process. You don't bypass a process when something is this important. And I don't want to hear the blah, blah, blah about football culture and so forth. You know what? I've done four games in my life at Alabama. I've done a game at Texas. I've done a game at USC. I've done a game at Notre Dame. Okay, I've done games at Penn State, at Ohio State, at Michigan. I've done games at Miami. I've done bowl games. Okay? I've seen all these cultures. The culture of those campuses in terms of how much they love their football Saturdays is no different than how much we love our football Saturdays here. There's no difference. Okay? Kevin, I know we have to take a break. So we will take that break right here, the bottom of the hour break. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And you can go to purdyinsurance.com. Lenape Solar Hotline, as you can hear, is humming today at 1-800-795-9565. And, of course, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key to Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we'll take the bottom of the hour break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you back. 1-800-795-9565, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, purdyinsurance.com. They are our Monday sponsor. In fact, I'd like to just point out there that Tuesday and Wednesdays are very much available, so why don't you jump on board? We have a lot to talk about between now and the end of this football season. We have Thursday, of course, our great friend Rick Weibel, whom you had dinner with Rick and his beautiful wife over the, in fact, lunch today, in fact.
Lunch today, yes.
Yeah, and, of course, Brewers Outlet on Friday. All right, number 1-800-795-9565. All right, I talked about the quarterbacks, about McGloin, Jones, McGregor. They'll eventually get Stephen Bench out there tomorrow, and Garrett Venuto would be the fifth. You have to have five guys just to take some reps. You can't just keep firing footballs 14 hours a week in the preseason. They throw a lot of passes during the course of a preseason, a lot. That's why you do worry about somebody getting a sore arm. Belton looked really good at tailback this morning, I thought. Really good. And he's what I thought. You know, I mean, we already know he can catch the ball, so you can stick him out in space and make some plays. You know, send him out in the flat, you know, have him rub off a tight end and get to the outside. He can do all that. The one part he'll struggle with, at least initially, is, you know, blitz pickup. I mean, he's going to be stick his nose in there and get, you know, get somebody when he has to hang in. Dukes, big, tougher, stronger than he's ever been. The tougher part's been the big part because when he was first here, first contact, one and out, used to bother me a lot. But now he's become a far more complete running back, and he now understands how big he is. Good hands out of the backfield, fine there. Again, same thing, has to be a better blocker from time to time. Derek Day's tough, hard-nosed, solid football player. Zwinek, I like a lot. I like Zwinek a lot. He's a tweener. I mean, Zach's a tweener. He's a, you know, not quite a fullback, not quite a tailback, but he in short yardage, he's going to help you a lot. Then they have Darren Thompson and Akeel Lynch. And again, I did not see Akeel Lynch this morning. He will get involved in the practice tomorrow. Wide receiver, you have Shawnee Kersee back. Alex Kenny is going to be a very important guy in this offense. Allen Robinson, same thing, another important guy in this offense. Then you mix in Christian Kuntz, Matt Zanellato. Those are some other guys. And also a guy that's forgotten because of the bad hamstring pull he had in the spring, Brandon Mosby Felder, who's a part of what's going on as well. And Mosby Felder can be a good receiver in this offense. If he applies himself, he can be very good. Now we'll find out where the freshmen fit in after that. You get to the tight end spot. Gilliam, to me, is a big-time look at tight end. In fact, it looks to me like Gary's lost some LBs on top of it. Not many, but he's lost some. He's cut and trim. Kyle Carter, I think, could be outstanding. I think Jesse James is just starting his road as a true freshman, but he is going to be a major league tight end in his 4 years here.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, a lot of people are. But I'll tell you, Kyle Carter's a guy that a lot of people don't talk about, and Kyle Carter is a player. And then you mix in after that Dakota Royer, Brian Urban, Matt Lehman. They have some guys that can step in with Kevin Hapley not being there. I was not all that concerned about the Hapley move in terms of like overall depth of the football team. Fullback Zordich is there. You have Byers there. Hey, Pat Zerbe's back, and Zerbe can play tight end too. Hey, don't discount it because Pat's coming off that ACL. And then you go up front. Stankavich is just the leader up there. Urschel's going to be a good player for them. Diefenbach. You know, that's why I hear about, well, they lost all these starters. Urschel started some games in his career. Stankavich has started a lot. Mike Farrell has started before. Donovan Smith's going to be really good. Then there's Adam Gress, and the weight program helped Gress. And Shrive will tell you that guard spot, Shrive, Nate Cadogan, they have some depth actually up front with Nate Cadogan. They get the defense, Massaro, Stanley, Deion Barnes, Brad Bars, Kyle Boblitz can play out there. Also, Anthony Zettel. They have Zettel playing out at the defensive end. So they flip-flop Zettel and Boblitz. So Zettel's outside now. Boblitz is one of the backup tackles. He and James Terry back up Daquan Jones and Jordan Hill. So they're in good shape up front. Then you get the linebacker, Carson Maudy Hodges. A lot of people would love to have that triumphant like they have. Then the backup spots, Mike Yanchus is back, and Yanchus is coming off, without question in my mind, the best spring I've ever seen him have. Mike looked good today in the opening practice. Ben Klein, very good, and keeping Mike Hull was really important. I like Mike Hull a lot. He has great instincts out there. And not only that, he knows how to cover the pass. I mean, he can do all those things. And keeping him was a very important part of this entire process. Now, you get to the secondary, Kevin. That's where things get a little dicey on this football team. And it gets dicey for a couple of reasons. Number one, Curtis Drake was moved over, no longer with the football team. Derek Thomas, they thought he could be a player for them. Finally, had things straight up. Now, Academic House not straight. Now he's at Marshall. Yeah, he and Davon Smith are both at Marshall, I believe. Okay? So you lose those two guys right away. So what do you have, quote, left? Stephon Morris is going to be a really good corner for them this year. The other corner, you have Adrian Amos. Yeah, and you know how much I like his potential. I've always said nothing but great things about Amos. I'd see the size, the quickness, the speed, how he covers. Those are your two corners. You get to your safeties, Malcolm Willis and Stephen Obeng Archibong. So your starting group is fine. Your starting group is fine. But here comes the issues. You know, how many players do you have there? Jesse Della Valle really came on in the spring. And he's number two at that one corner behind Amos. Patrick Flanagan is the backup to Morris at the other corner. And then you get to the safety spot, and it was Jake Fignano. Okay? Well, Jake has a minor hamstring pull. A minor hamstring pull. Just like Donovan Smith has a minor hamstring pull. Smith will come get over that, and then Smith will take over at that left tackle spot. He'll start for 4 years. Right? Fignano, really good, tough, hard-nosed football player. Okay? But he has a little hamstring problem, so he had to sit out the last half of today's practice. I'll bet he's out no more than a couple days. He'll be fine. But there's a domino effect here. A guy that really would have helped the football team a lot in several areas, even though he wasn't a starter, J.B. Van Fleet. Okay? Really would have helped. Then he tore the ACL in the spring. He would have been playing a lot and a player I like a lot. The other guy is Ryan Kaiser. Ryan Kaiser is out of Selins Grove. And Ryan Kaiser, when he hurt, I think it's the meniscus in the knee, 4 to 6 month recovery, right? Well, today he was out there in his uniform, his helmet, just like everybody else, and did some running around. Not on the field, but did some running around in some drills. I talked to Ryan, told me he's sore, but he's so much further along, and maybe Ryan might be able to get himself out there in a month where he's really taking legit reps in a month. So you've had a couple of guys get hurt along the way. Mike Wallace wasn't out there today, but Mike will be a part of it. Mike will give them some depth at corner, too, once they get him out there. But you have some other guys that I think can step up and help with the depth of the football team. Because there are certain guys that are Jamie Van Fleet's out. torn ACL, he really would have helped. And another kid that really would have helped and is hurting them right now and won't be back, I don't think, until the end of, I want to say September, is Ty Howell. Slight tear of a pectoral muscle in the weight room. And he's your backup center. He's your backup center, and he's also your snapper. That means Emory Etter, who, by the way, has been the starting snapper. He was the starting snapper for the first half of the 2010 season. So he has game experience. He has to snap. Butterworth will punt. You're going to lose about 3 yards a punt with him. But he kicks the ball high enough, and they cover it, you're fine. Sam Ficken will be doesn't have the game experience. He had limited game experience, but Sam Ficken's going to be a good kicker. And in terms of the kickoff's up 5 yards to the 35. That becomes less of a factor. Fair is a big loss, but it can be compensated for. Let's go to Randy in Danville at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to check two things. One, a question on the year that Jerry Sandusky resigned, retired, whatever it was he did.
His last season was 1999. His last game was the 1999 Alamo Bowl where they shut out Texas A&M 24-0.
Okay. One comment I have. The year, whenever this dinner was held for Jerry, I don't know if you attended that or not.
I did. I was there. I was I was doing floor interviews with players. Mickey Bergstein was the primary MC, and I was the floor MC.
Yeah. In talking to a vice president who's a friend of mine who is retired since that time, he informed me back in November when this thing all broke that Joe was one of the speakers, and Joe did not attend the dinner until it was his time to be called on the floor by the MC, and that it was very brief, very to the point. Congratulations on your retirement, Jerry. Good luck in the future. And out he went. That he wasn't there for the dinner. Is that correct? Or?
Joe was at the dinner. Joe did speak. Joe then apologized that he had to leave. He came down to me specifically. We talked on the floor, and he said that that he had a lot of recruiting to do that night, a lot of recruiting calls to make that night, and that's why he had to exit.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a direct conversation from Joe to me, so that's what he told me that night when he was leaving. And he specifically came down to talk to me. I did not seek him out. It was the other way around.
I see. Did Jerry ever tell why he retired or resigned or whatever?
No. It had something to do with he'd been an employee for 30 years. There was a special package, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That's what the story was at the time, so.
That's what I was told, too. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. I hope I answered your questions. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. All right. We get to about 9 before the hour, and we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
The Tramps, Disco Inferno. Kevin Hurst still owns his white jacket a la Travolta.
It doesn't fit anymore.
I didn't say that.
I'm not sure it fit 10 years ago either, but and I'm not just talking about style.
I'm frightened that you have one. All right. My number, 1-800-795-9565. So you get some domino effect. A Jamie Van Fleet injury, which really hurt in the spring, and it did hurt because Van Fleet I liked a lot. He was going to help the team in a lot of ways. Becomes more magnified with Kyrie Fort leaving. Okay. Ty Howell, you know, slight tear of the pectoral muscle. He's out. That has a domino effect. Now, Frank Figueroa is your backup center. That's not what you want at this time. Frank's going to have to step up. Next man up. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take that next call if it's available. 1-800-795-9565. And I know we just only have about 3 minutes here before the top. Since we only have 3 minutes to go, we'll just make sure it's a very brief call. That's all. We're just glad to have people on board. All right, we have Jim. Hi, Jim. Jim, we only have a couple minutes, but I want to make sure you get your couple minutes.
Okay.
Let her
rip. Afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just was wondering, if you had any comment or if anybody had called in earlier. I read a blurb in the news item today, just very brief, about the TCU quarterback who apparently was found or had admitted to illegal drug use, but the coach had not had said that there will be no disciplinary action taken against that player. And was just wondering, any thoughts on that? And even though there's no disciplinary action being taken by the coach, what are the bounds of the NCAA stepping in there and again, putting their own sanctions on this?
They have not done this with anybody else, as you well know. And I think I know exactly where you're driving at, Jim. They're not going to do anything about it. It's going to be a matter to be handled by the Fort Worth police and a matter to be held by Gary Patterson and the administration at TCU. So he's charged with this. Okay. Dan Connor makes 3 prank phone calls and gets a 3-game suspension from Vicky Trippening. So
Exactly. So, and that's what I mean. It's just not, they're not being consistent across the board. If you're going to jump in and make sanctions on one area, not on the other, I don't understand how they do that.
That's why I think the NCAA has put itself in a precarious position by overstepping their bounds by a wide margin, and by threatening the death penalty for 4 years. They put themselves in a spot where callers such as yourself that are very perceptive will ask that question, and of course it puts them in a spot. Well, excuse me, I don't understand the hypocrisy.
Yeah, so you know, that was just my thought. I was just curious as to, I know it's only a little blur, and I know it's probably just the story's just starting to unfold, but just was interested in your thoughts as to what the NCAA should do in that instance.
They shouldn't
so, again,
do a single.
They consistent.
Right, they shouldn't do a single thing. All right, because yeah. that is a matter of law enforcement, and then it's internal discipline by the university and the football team.
Yeah, the NCAA doesn't right. get involved in legal. Oh, wait a minute.
Exactly. Well said.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for taking my call. Have a good day.
Jim, you used your 2 minutes very wisely, my friend. Well done. That wraps it up for today. Our thanks to Bill O'Brien for the time he gave me this morning in our one-on-one interview. Tomorrow we'll have Walt Moody of the Center Daily Times, John Stroh on as well as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks to Purdy Insurance for the Monday show. Go to purdyinsurance.com.